Welcome to the Gospel Truth. Your speaker is Marlon Kilpatrick. When the Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the Gospel, Timothy, among other things, he instructed Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Today, we shall give particular attention to the words, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was a young preacher, and Paul understood the importance of the preacher being an able student of God's word. Though these words are addressed to a young preacher, they are words to which every student of the Scriptures need to pay close attention. Failure to rightly divide the Scriptures is a primary source of false teaching. Rightly dividing the word of truth implies the possibility of one wrongly dividing the word. Hence the need for study, or giving diligence to the proper teaching of the word of God. The need to rightly divide the word of truth should be obvious, for only through proper handling of the Scripture can we obtain a knowledge of Bible truth, and only Bible truth can make us free from sin, John 8:32. Rightly dividing the word of truth involves several things to which I now call our attention. First, no Scripture should be used in a way not used by the inspired writer. Just because certain words in a given text seem to teach what we already believe does not necessarily make it so. One of the first mistakes often made is approaching the Scriptures with preconceived convictions. It has been said, if we look far enough, we can usually find that for which we're looking. When we use Scriptures in ways not used by the inspired writer, we lift the Scripture out of its context. The Apostle Peter wrote of those whom he said, being unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction, 2 Peter 3:16. The word rest translates a word meaning to twist. By twisting the Scriptures, one can make the Bible appear to teach most anything. To rightly divide the Scriptures, one must recognize the two main divisions of the Bible, the Old and New Testaments. Failure to make this distinction between the Old and New Testaments has resulted in the teaching of much religious error. Churches of Christ have often been accused of being those people who do not believe all the Bible. This is a false charge. We believe every word of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. But we also believe we must rightly divide the Scriptures, and when this is done, one will learn that we today live under the law of Christ, the New Testament. When Jesus died on the cross, His death abolished the Old Covenant. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, and which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, Colossians 2:14. Failure to recognize this simple fact has led many to believe we should worship on Saturday rather than on the first day of the week. Sabbatarians, such as Seventh-day Adventists, make this crucial mistake. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning," Romans 15:4. There is much to be gained in a profitable study of the Old Testament, and such a study can help us better understand why we live under the New Testament. Failing to recognize that we live under the New Testament, the law of Christ, has led many to think that all one need do to be saved is keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments form the basis of the Old Covenant, but God promised that the day would come when He would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31:31-34. The law of Christ, the New Testament, is a better covenant. For example, take the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." Suppose a man beat his neighbor half to death. Which of the Ten Commandments would he have violated? In reality, he would have violated none of the Ten Commandments. But he certainly would have violated the law of Christ. Under the law of Christ, man is to love his neighbor. He is even to love his enemies. The law of Christ, the New Testament, is a higher law in that it lifts man to a higher plane of living than did the Old Covenant. It is necessary that we recognize the difference between the Old and New Testaments in order to rightly divide the word of truth. Another example of failing to distinguish between the Old and New Testaments is the effort to justify the use of mechanical music in today's worship. It is true that in the Old Testament, God's people worshipped Him by using instruments of music. We are often reminded that David played on his harp. Yes, this is true, but friend, why try to justify the use of mechanical music in today's worship when David also lived when the burning of incense and animal sacrifices were a part of worshiping God? Why do we not burn incense and offer burnt offerings as a part of our worship? Seems to me, if we appeal to part of the law, consistency would demand keeping the rest of the law. If not, why not? The truth is, David lived and died under the Old Covenant, but we live under the law of Christ, the New Testament. To find scriptural authority for our worship, we must come to the New Testament, and when we do, we will find that the music in the church of the New Testament was vocal. It was the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. The Apostle John wrote, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the teaching of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son," 2 John 9. To seek authority for our faith and practice by appealing to the Old Testament is to do so while appealing to a law that no longer exists. In rightly dividing the word of truth, we must also make a distinction between special instruction given by Christ to His apostles and instructions with which all men must comply. Our Lord's words to His apostles, as set out in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 16, involve matters that pertain to His apostles and not generally to all men. Jesus said to His apostles, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you," John 14:26. Is that the way the Holy Spirit operates today? Do you have to study to know what the Scriptures teach? Of course you do. But the apostles did not have to study, learn, and only then would they be able to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit supernaturally revealed His message to the apostles, and He brought to their memory all that Jesus had taught them while He was here with them on this earth. This revelation from the Holy Spirit to the apostles is what we now know as the New Testament. Today, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the medium of His Word, and in no other way. Yet I have heard Pentecostal preachers quote John 14 and 26 and apply our Lord's words to themselves, when Jesus was speaking to His apostles and to no one else. Here is a prime example of failing to rightly divide the word of truth, and it leads to the teaching of false doctrine and the loss of many souls. In rightly dividing the word of truth, we must recognize there is a distinction to be made between the temporary and the permanent. Miraculous gifts, which were exercised in the early church, were temporary. They were never intended to be permanent. Failure to recognize this distinction has led many to claim the working of miracles today. Those who claim to be able to work miracles today often cite the miracles that the apostles did and which others also were able to do as a result of having had an apostle's hands laid on them. Again, the problem with such reasoning is the failure to distinguish between the temporary and the permanent. The apostle Paul plainly told the Corinthian church that the supernatural gifts were temporary and would eventually cease, 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10. When the permanent, the complete revealed will of God, the New Testament in its entirety, had been made, then the supernatural gifts would have served their purpose and no longer would be needed. This is why Paul said they would cease. Rightly dividing the word of truth also involves taking all that the Scriptures say about a given subject. For example, take the question of salvation by faith. Much of denominationalism is built upon the false doctrine of salvation by faith alone. In discussing this doctrine with denominational preachers, it's not unusual for someone to cite various scriptures that say man is justified by faith. A favorite is Romans 5:1, where Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That man is justified by faith is certainly true. But Paul did not say man is justified by faith alone or faith only. I once pointed this out to a denominational preacher, and his reply was, "Well, faith is the only thing that's mentioned." I ask, since faith is the only thing mentioned in Romans 5:1, and supposedly this proves the doctrine of salvation by faith alone, if this is true, then man can be saved without repentance from his sins, seeing repentance is not mentioned in Romans 5:1. But Jesus said, "I tell you nay, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. Friends, we are justified by faith, but not by faith alone. In fact, man is not justified by any one thing alone. Man obtains salvation through an obedient faith, Hebrews 5:8-9. That obedient faith must lead man to repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. Confess Christ as God's Son, Acts 8:37. And be baptized for the remission of his sins, Acts 2:38. It is at this point that man is said to be justified by his faith. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Rightly dividing the word of truth requires that we take all that is said on any given subject. It makes no difference what the subject may be. It is the total teaching of God's word on that subject that will enable us to learn all that God wants us to know and then obey that teaching. Friend, are you interested enough to study your Bible and learn the truth? If we can be of help to you, contact the nearest Church of Christ and someone will gladly study with you and help you see the teaching of God's eternal Word. We bid you to have a most pleasant and happy good day. Thank you so much for listening.